When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there, Mr. Reddit here. Welcome back to another episode of r/Entitled Parent Stories. Our first story we'll be reading today. Am I the jerk for refusing to let my sister and her kids move into the house that I just bought? After that, mom wanted me to give my sister my house, and sister says I stole her dream. And after that, newly hired youth minister got me kicked out of church. I found out about him and the deacon's wife, so I helped the deacon ruin his life. Now for every thumbs up this video gets, one Karen does not get to take someone's house. But I deserve it! So please, smash that like button. And if you're new, subscribe and turn on notifications for new stories from Reddit every single day. Am I the jerk for refusing to let my sister and her kids move into the house that I bought? I'm a 32-year-old woman and I just bought my first house. It has 3 bedrooms, a yard, and is just what I need right now. I'm single and have 2 dogs. My sister is 34, has 3 kids, and lives in a 2-bedroom apartment. Lately, she's been talking about how such a tiny living space is not enough for the 4 of them. When she got to know about the house I had bought, she became very upset and told me I was being wasteful, as I'm single and don't have kids and therefore don't need such a big space. I reminded her that what I do with my hard-earned money is none of her business. She went on to complain to our mother about how selfish I was being. Yesterday evening, I got a call from my mom telling me I should let my sister and her kids move into the house. My house. I told her that no one was going to live in the house that I paid for but me, and that extra space would be great for my dogs to play in. My mom also got very upset with me and told me I was being unreasonable, that my sister's kids are growing and need the space more than my dogs. I offered to help my sister out financially so she could rent a bigger place. My mom got my sister on the phone, who shot down the idea, telling me I needed to let her and her kids live in my house. When I refused again, she very generously suggested a compromise. I could live in the house with her and her kids and would not have to find somewhere else to live. She said this as if she was doing me a favor. I told her that she had lost her mind and hung up. Am I the jerk or is she? I know my sister is struggling financially, but this kind of entitlement is ridiculous. Well, what do you think? Should OP let Karen and her kids move in or not? Please let us know.
Of course she should. They need that space much more than her and her dogs.
Mom wanted me to give my sister my house, and sister says I stole her dream. When me and my husband decided to move, we wanted to live on our own spot of land instead of the cookie-cutter community and no HOA. The house was still mortgaged. It was a 2-story, 5-bedroom, and 3.5-bath house, and was less than a year old. Me and my husband at the time had no kids, only 2 dogs, and while we loved the house, the taxes and HOA fees and maintenance was really annoying to us and overly priced, and we wanted a little more privacy too, because our neighbors were literally 2 feet away from our own house. We were at a small family gathering with my parents and siblings discussing our options about where we wanted to move to and if we wanted to build or buy a temporary mobile home to save up for our true dream house. I noticed my sister pull my mother aside and were whispering about something, but I ignored it as my dad was telling us about some great opportunities in some nice country-like areas, which was what we were hoping for. I always wanted to raise sheep and chickens and needed an area that would allow that. Later that night, my mom and sister asked if they could speak to me privately, which was never a good sign, but I sighed and we went into my mom's room and closed the door, which made me anxious.
Listen, honey, me and your sister have been talking, and we were thinking it would be a really good idea if you sold your house to your sister. She has 3 kids, and the house she lives in now is so small. This would be a major help to her and her family.
My mom was using a tone like someone would use for a 5-year-old,
I was 33 at the time. That's not a problem. She just needs to go through the proper channels like everyone else. I can get you in contact with our realtors easily, and you can take it from there. Thinking she wanted to buy the house legit.
No, no, you don't understand.
My sister whined as she looked at my mom all teary-eyed. She would do this so my mom would take pity on her, and apparently they had discussed this before coming to me.
Honey, your sister's credit isn't good enough, so she would never qualify for such a big loan to buy your house. So, we were thinking that maybe you could transfer the house into her and her husband's name, but you could keep paying the mortgage, and your sister will pay you under the table what is owed. That way, she can get the house, and you won't be losing any money over it, since she'll be paying you back after all.
Still talking to me all sweet-like.
What? Are you kidding me? Do you have any idea what the mortgage is? It's $2,500 a month, and you and your husband barely make $25,000 a year.
That's when he actually has a job, and you don't work at all. Not to mention the $1,500 land taxes and the $800 HOA fees. I understand you want a better place, but I know for a fact there would be a month you would fall on hard times like you always do, and not be able to pay for that month, and I can't afford to keep you there if you don't pay, which we both know will eventually happen. You need to buy this house legit or not at all. I'm not making any kind of deals because we need to sell the house to buy our new place anyway. I was about to leave, but my sister burst into tears at this.
Mommy, me and husband will work really hard to pay you every month, I swear. We need this place because we would never be able to get a place like this on our own. This is our only chance.
She began crying again at this.
You need to stop being so selfish. You and your husband are in the living room bragging about building a house and getting your own land and everything, knowing your sister is having so many financial difficulties and raising three kids.
My mom is yelling at me.
Exactly my point. She is always struggling financially. How can she afford $2,500 a month on mortgage alone? I would eventually end up just paying her mortgage all the time because her husband always changes jobs and I simply can't afford it. And since the house would be in her name, then I would have no way to kick her out. Eventually, I would have to stop paying and the bank would repossess the house and I would be left with nothing financially, which we need to fund getting a new place, not to mention damaging my credit score, which I worked very hard to make good. Harsh, yes, but the truth often is.
I can't believe you are doing this just to spite me. You are stealing my dream and not even giving me something in return.
She began to whine even more.
What are you talking about, stealing your dream?
I was really confused.
I was always the one who wanted to buy my own little spot of land and build a house. You were talking about raising chickens and planting a garden. Those were my dreams, and you were stealing them, you selfish jerk!
She yelled.
Oh, wow. Imagine that. I want to be a homemaker? You are the only one in the world who wanted that. I guess Mom stole your dream too, right? She owns land and a house and gardens all the time. And oh my God, our other sister does too. And she raises chickens. We all stole your dream.
I was being overly sarcastic because it was so ridiculous.
That's different. They're older than me, but you're younger. You shouldn't upstage your older sister like this. Just because you and your husband make more money than us, it's not fair.
She was still crying and making a huge scene, but I was done with this at this point.
The answer is no. You want the house? You can buy it legit. Not under the table, and certainly not me footing the bill and losing a ton of cash that I know inevitably will happen. And I'm not stealing anything from you. If I want a little plot of land to grow a garden on and raise chickens, that's my choice, and you have nothing to do with how I live my life. If this is such a reasonable request, Mom, then why don't you buy her a house legit? Put it in her name and just let her pay you under the table instead of asking your daughter to take care of her sister. She is your child, not mine, and I will not spend my hard-earned money supporting her and her family.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Sister was throwing a huge fit after that, crying and begging my mom to make me do this, like we were still little kids or something. It was a pretty sad sight to see her throwing a tantrum like a two-year-old. Yeah, and she's the golden child? Really? I told my husband we needed to leave, and we spent the drive home with me telling him what my mom and sister were trying to pull over on us. He responded, "Even if you did agree, did she really think I would go for it? I like your family and all, but wow, your sister is something else altogether. Stealing her dream, what was that all about?" he asked as we laughed about it a little. We have our own land now and are living in a double-wide trailer that we love. 5 bedrooms and 3 full baths, and thankfully, no stairs, no HOA, much cheaper mortgage and taxes, and wonderful privacy. My sister has moved twice within the last 2 years and is always renting because their credit is terrible and they can't get a loan to buy a house. I just heard from my mother that they've been sending them money almost monthly for groceries because they can barely afford to buy food. Yeah, and you think she could have afforded that mortgage? I don't regret my decision one bit, and I love my little vegetable garden that I make homemade soup with often. What would you have done in this situation? Would you have sold the house to her under the table, knowing she wasn't going to be able to pay you for it? Or not? Please let us know.
My younger sister upstaged me once, but she's no longer around to tell about it.
Yes. Newly hired youth minister got me kicked out of church. I found out about him and the deacon's wife, so I helped the deacon ruin his life. About 6 to 7 years ago, I was a ministerial student at a Baptist college. I had attended the same Baptist church since I was a small kid. It was large, about 1,000 members, but not a megachurch. This church had been an enormous part of my life for as long as I could remember. I played piano for a youth choir, preached at the children's church service, which was held in the church's chapel, and at the same time as the adult service, drove the church bus to pick up Sunday school students, etc. I did all of this for free, not even getting reimbursed for expenses. During my senior year in college, we got a new Minister of Music, Education, and Youth. This guy was as charming as an ice cream sundae with razor blades in it. I'll call him Mr. Charming. All the deacons and their wives thought he walked on water. He was an authoritarian jerk. In his first meeting with the church youth group, he announced that he had been hired to straighten out the youth group. One of his favorite sayings was, "When I tell my disciples jump, the only questions they ask are how high and how far." The adults loved him and the youth hated him. Within a few weeks, half of the high school and college students, i.e. all of those without parents in the church, had quit coming to church. Most youth directors would have gotten into trouble over this, but he had the audacity to proclaim in front of the entire congregation in the Sunday morning worship service that he had eliminated all of the thorny ground from the youth group, a reference to the parable of the sower in the Bible. And the pastor and all of the deacons loved him for it. He didn't waste any time going after what he really wanted, the pastor's job. The pastor, whom I'll call Pastor T, was about 60 years old. Within a few weeks of Mr. Charming's arrival, rumors started circulating about Pastor T's health. He was an avid runner and cyclist, and that he just didn't seem as mentally sharp as he used to be. He frequently quoted long Bible passages from the pulpit entirely from memory without misstating a single word, sometimes in Greek or Hebrew. None of these accusations made any sense, but people kept talking about them. I have no idea why the pastor didn't find out, or maybe he did find out and was just too scared to do anything about it. This was a Baptist church, and some denominations, like Catholic or Methodist, the denomination assigns pastors/priests, not Baptists. Each church calls the minister. This guarantees that every pastor always walks on a razor's edge. The slightest slip and you're out. You don't even have to slip. Maybe you even do the right thing and it still offends enough people. It doesn't take many, just a handful if they hate you enough. Then you're out. Or maybe, like Pastor T, some creep just lies about you and gets your job. And since the church often owns your house, your entire family is suddenly homeless and destitute. Then I became a target. I still don't know why. A couple of months after starting to work for my church, Mr. Charming called me and informed me that my services were no longer needed at youth choir, children's church, bus ministry, anywhere. In fact, he said he did not even want me to participate in any of these functions at all, not even go to the Sunday morning worship service. I later found out that members of his family had been hired by the church at very nice rates of pay to perform these functions that I'd been doing for free.
His wife got paid more for playing a beat-up piano at the one-hour youth choir rehearsal than the main organist slash pianist got paid for playing for adult choir rehearsal plus Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. The wife could barely pick out the notes on the piano. This lady radiated bitterness, resentment, and repressed anger, but she rarely said anything. She just sat there and glared, which was somehow even creepier than when she spoke. I was very hurt, emotionally, so I dropped by Pastor T's office and tearfully asked him what I had done wrong. I couldn't get a straight answer, except he told me that people are saying things about me, and that if I wanted to get a good recommendation from him to our denomination's Baptist minister school, I'd better shut up and do what I'm told. So I started asking all of my church friends what people were saying about me. Everyone said, "Well, I didn't want to tell you, and I don't believe it, but here's what I heard. According to the rumor mill, I had gotten my girlfriend pregnant and forced her to get rid of it. I hadn't even had a girlfriend since junior high, and I had been arrested, and my dad had to pay a bunch of money to hush it up. There were other rumors, but you get the idea. I did what Pastor T told me to. I never darkened the door of that church again, except once, months later, see below. It hurt like heck. I'd devoted my life to that church since I was a kid, but I had to have Pastor T's recommendation to get into the minister school I wanted to go to, and the pain was unbearable just driving by there. So I decided to keep my distance. But I started thinking about Mr. Charming. Anyone who was that evil had to have a past, and it probably wasn't a good one. I knew that, just before working for my church, he had worked at a large Baptist school in a small town about 50 miles away. That church was actually about twice the size of my church, so he had moved from a big church to the same job at a smaller church. A bad career move? Running away from something? Ah, there was something rotten in Denmark, and it smelled like an opportunity for me. As luck would have it, one of my uncles and his family lived in that same small town, although none of my family attended Mr. Charming's former church. So I called one of my cousins, told her my story, and enlisted her as my co-conspirator. I'll call her Anne. The next Sunday morning, Anne and I attended Sunday school and worship morning at Mr. Charming's old church. Although Anne had never been a member of that church, it was a small town where everyone knew everyone, so she knew most of the people there. She started asking about Mr. Charming and got an earful. Every one of her friends said that Mr. Charming was a world-class creep. He would flirt with all of the girls in the youth group. He was over 40 years old and had a wife and three kids of his own. But just like at my former church, the adults loved him because he kept the youth in line. Our investigation went on for several weeks. After church was over, we would go to her house, have a delicious Sunday lunch cooked by my aunt, and then write down everything we had learned. By then, Anne's whole family were in on my investigation. They were as angry as I was about the way I had been treated, and our weekly report made interesting lunchtime conversation. I was sure that all I had to do was drive a few of these ladies and their parents, friends of my aunt and uncle, down to my old church, let them tell their stories to the parents of some of the girls in the youth group, and Mr. Charming would become Mr. Unemployed. But it kept getting better and better, so I kept digging. And I really wanted to keep a low profile if I could, because I didn't want to upset Pastor T any more than I had to. He knew a lot of people in the denomination, and he could easily ruin my ministerial career before it even got started. Finally, after a month or so, Anne grabbed me by the sleeve and said, "You've got to hear this." She introduced me to a well-dressed, very large guy, maybe 30 to 35 years old.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'll call him Fred. We slipped off into a Sunday school room where we would not be overheard. It turned out that Mr. Charming had had a multi-year affair with Fred's wife. Fred had kept his cool when he found out,
talked with a lawyer, and had spent months gathering evidence, text messages, voicemails, emails, even photos and videos of them together. Finally, Fred confronted his wife. She denied everything, but the evidence was just too much. Fred told her he wanted a divorce, full custody of their kids, their house, his retirement money, his business, her engagement and wedding rings, everything, even the dog. She hired a lawyer, but laws and courts being what they are in this rural Alabama county, her lawyer told her that if the judge saw the videos, she'd be lucky if she ended up in a homeless shelter with all of her worldly possessions under her bunk in a garbage bag. Then Fred turned his attention to Mr. Charming. Fred still sincerely loved his wife, and he was convinced that Mr. Charming had deliberately ruined his marriage, taking Mr. Charming to court, suing him for loss of consortium, and otherwise making him legally miserable would take too long. This is Alabama. Many Alabamians prefer a more direct approach. In rural counties, the police and any jury of your peers will probably include people who have known you since kindergarten. So if you have a good reason for your actions and aren't too stupid about it, there are things that you can do. Fred scheduled an appointment with Mr. Charming in his church office, who did not suspect a thing because Fred was a deacon and his kids were in the church youth group. Remember that I said Fred was big? 6'6" at least, 300 pounds, and if there was an inch of fat on him, he hit it well. Looked like he could pull up a 100-foot oak tree by the roots without breaking a sweat. Fred told me that he had brought several friends with him, and of course, the videos. One friend blocked the door, another unplugged the phone, a third one stood behind Mr. Charming and encouraged him to stay seated in his chair. Fred made Mr. Charming watch about 10 minutes of one of the videos, then calmly said, "I'm going to stand here and watch you pack up your stuff, then you're going to walk out of this building and never show your face in this town again, or we'll be back." Mr. Charming did as he was told. A month later, he had a new job at another church, my old church, and started ruining another whole set of lives, including mine. Fred actually did not know where Mr. Charming had gone. He assumed he had moved out of the state. He was surprised and gratified to learn that this scumbag was only 50 miles away. This had all happened just a few months before. Fred was still deeply in love with his wife. They were getting counseling, and he hoped that they could save his marriage. But his hatred of Mr. Charming was still fulminating. Like Mount St. Helens a few minutes before the explosion, he presented such a face of restrained rage and vindictiveness that it scared me, and I wasn't even the one he was mad at. The next day, Monday, I drove back up there and gave him a copy of the directory of my old church. It had addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses for pretty much every member of the church. I showed him the pages that listed all of the deacons and other church leaders, and I marked some of the church's major financial donors. I explained my situation with Pastor T and asked that my name not be mentioned. "No problem," he said. The next Sunday, I could not resist visiting my old church to see how things were going. Mr. Charming was nowhere to be seen, nor was any explanation given about what had happened to him. One weird thing, though, the pastor looked scared. His voice, usually resonant, loud, and almost musically baritone, trembled during the whole sermon. I slipped in just before the service started and made a point of sitting in the very front row, center pew. The look on his face when he saw me was worth all of my trouble. I didn't know it at the time, but Fred had gotten right to work and done a very thorough job. The whole church had gotten multiple anonymous emails with photos and videos of Mr. Charming and Fred's wife in various, well, compromising positions. Deacons and major donors had gotten emails plus express mail packages just for good measure. Mr. Charming and Pastor T had been left out. They didn't know anything until the phone calls started pouring in. After the worship service, it did not take long for my church friends to figure out why I was there. It was very gratifying. I was something of a hero, although I kept swearing that I had no idea what they were talking about. Things continued to blow up in my former church for months afterwards. Both Pastor T and the pastor of Mr. Charming's old church almost lost their jobs because they had lied to my old church's committee of deacons who had recommended hiring Mr. Charming about why Mr. Charming had left his old job. But somehow, they managed to stay in the pulpits at their churches, although a lot of church members left my former church, which caused some financial problems. There was talk of legal action for sending all of this stuff to little old ladies and other people in the church, but nobody was ever able to prove that Fred did it. I don't think they tried very hard. After all, his wife was in the videos and photos. Both churches really did not want this to become a court case because of Mr. Charming's trysts and the fact that he had spent years with the deacon's wife while he had unlimited, unsupervised access to dozens of the church youth, which then became a matter of public record, so they hushed it up.
I never saw Pastor T again. I had lost all of the trust and respect that I had had for him, and I was sure that he had figured out that I was somehow connected to the whole fiasco. So my chances of having a Baptist preaching career were precisely zero. By that time, being a pastor like Pastor T was the last thing I wanted anyway. I withdrew my application to the Baptist Minister's School and eventually completed a doctorate in archaeology at a different grad school. I've been teaching at a large public university in the Midwest of the USA with summer gigs on archaeological digs in Europe, and I am very happy. One last, very gratifying event, the reasons for this post. All that happened 6 to 7 years ago. Fast forward to last March. I went to pick up a friend at a large downtown urban bus station in the US. Everyone hates this place. Not only is it crowded, it's also poorly maintained and filthy. It smells like spoiled garbage mixed with diesel exhaust and seldom cleaned public restrooms. My friend's bus was late. I stopped by the newsstand to get myself a soda and candy bar. Who do you think was restocking the shelves? Mr. Charming. I just sat across from the newsstand and enjoyed my drink and snack. He recognized me, then turned away. I just sat and watched him, restocking shelves full of magazines and junk food. Revenge is a feast that is best enjoyed cold. Entitled parents try to kick me out of my room. I'm currently taking classes away from home, and since I don't like the idea of living out of my car, I rented a room at a nearby bed and breakfast that houses students. Great owners, amazing rooms with private bathrooms, fast Wi-Fi, free use of state-of-the-art kitchen, and above all else, affordable. Of course, because the place I'm staying at is a B&B first, the owners request that I stay flexible during tourist seasons, which means I keep things at a ready-to-move status. Tourist patrons pay way more to stay here, so they take priority over room choice. Thankfully, tourist season only lasts from September 1st to October 22nd and from February 1st to the 18th, and doesn't come without compensation. The owners have temporary rooms in their private residence. They call it the retreat, set up for students who have to move for tourists, as well as a contract stating that if any items left in our rooms are damaged or stolen by tourists, it will be fixed/replaced. Well, it's tourist season again, thanks to the nearby town's winter and Valentine's festivals that happen every February. I've been moved once so far, but it wasn't too bad. The owners called all the students into the common room to explain the room situation for the coming days. Alrighty then, housemate 1 and housemate 2, you're gonna stay the night up at the retreat. OP, you're the lucky one who gets to stay this time. Mind your manners and just do what you do. Later that day, I'm playing on my Xbox when I'm caught off guard as my door swings open and a family of 3 pour in. The lady sets down a couple of luggage bags while the kid starts running around the room. The mother takes one look at me and says, "I was told that you'd be moved out by now. Why are you still here?" I politely tell her that they may have the wrong room and that mine wasn't selected for patron use. "That's ridiculous. I specifically requested this room. You better leave now, or I'll be having a strongly worded conversation with the owner." I ask her to give me a second as I call up the owner. She gives me a, "Whatever." The owner picks up, and I double-check with him about my room. He confirms that they have the wrong room and that he'll be there shortly to work it out. I relay this information to the mother, who just doesn't accept this. "This is stupid. I asked for this room and I paid the fee, so you gotta leave. Now!" The kid finally notices my Xbox. "Awesome! We have an Xbox while we stay here. Can I play it, Mom? Please?" The mom agrees, totally ignoring the fact that she has no right to allow her kid to use someone else's things. I keep the controller away from the kid and say that if I'm leaving, I'll be taking my Xbox with me. Her brat did not like that answer and began to wail like a banshee. "Now look what you've done. You've made my baby cry. He's going to be in a bad mood for the rest of our stay now. You better hope the owner is forgiving, because he's getting an earful when he shows up." All this is going on, and not a word has been breathed from the dad. He just stands behind his wife, arms crossed, and with a mildly discomforted look on his face. The owner finally shows up, and it goes like this. "Hello, folks. Sorry for the mix-up. Your room is
taken up by this punk. We know. But this is the room I asked for, and it's the room we're getting, or we'll find somewhere else."
"Ma'am, your bill states that you asked for room number 4.
This is room number 5. I've already made the arrangements for room 4 to be used, so if you could just please follow me, we'll get your family set up.
No! This room has an Xbox video game entertainer!
Yes, she called it that.
And my son wants to use it while we stay here. It's this room or nothing.
You'll be hard-pressed to find another place with vacancy during the festival. Besides, it's just down the hall, and it's just as nice of a room.
Does it have an Xbox?
I don't think...
Then it's this room, or we take the Xbox with us.
I interject, saying that no one is taking or using my Xbox without my permission.
Why do you even have that thing anyways? You look like an adult, act like one, and quit playing childish video games.
Ma'am, it's room 4 or nothing, and I can assure you, it's not going to be easy to find a new place to stay. Even if you did, it won't be as nice as here.
Fine, I'll take it. But don't expect a review over 3 stars.
She stomps out of the room, wailing brat and pack mule husband in tow. The owner gives me a yeesh look before apologizing and closing the door. That was 2 days ago, and they're still down the hall from me for another 2 days. The kid has had at least 4 very audible temper tantrums since then. God have mercy. Do you check everyone's cart like that? I work at a warehouse chain that requires a membership to shop, and I'm trained in a variety of departments. One of them is front door asset protection. We check receipts at the door of the store. This is not so much to prevent theft as it is to prevent shrink from cashier error. 99% of people are cooperative, even when there is a mistake on their receipt. Cast. We've got me. We've got customer service desk employee 1, a close friend of mine. We've got customer service desk employee 2. We've got rude lady and rude lady's friend. The story. Today, I was scheduled the closing shift checking receipts at the front door. I should mention that the industrial heater we have near the front door of the store is broken at the moment, so it was around 45 degrees Fahrenheit, 7 degrees Celsius, at the door all day. Barely warmer than the current temperature outside. I was bundled in 3 layers, a hat and gloves, to barely stay warm for 5 hours, so I wasn't in the best mood. Rude lady and rude lady's friend come up to me from the cashier service desk with a receipt and a carriage with 3 items in it. A case of water and 2 bunches of bananas. They hand me a receipt, which clearly says non-member, where the membership number and info would usually be. This means they don't have a membership with the chain and aren't supposed to be shopping at all, but someone made an exception and let them purchase a few items. They hand me the receipt and I start to look it over. There's only 1 item on it, the water. So I ask very nicely, "Do you have another receipt?" This actually happens quite a bit. People forget they did 2 separate transactions and only hand me 1 receipt. Also, if we suspect theft, which I never did throughout this entire exchange, we are required to ask if they have another receipt as a neutral way to start a conversation about a missed item. Rude lady.
Nope. Why?
Me. It looks like only your water was charged on this transaction, but not the bananas. Rude lady, yelling out of nowhere.
Well, I paid for them. Do you check everyone's receipt like this?
Me. Yes, I do. I show her the receipt, trying to indicate that only the water is on there.
Oh, so you count all the items in all the cards? Go ahead, ask the lady at customer service. She knows I paid.
I page customer service to the front door. They're only about 20 feet away, so it doesn't take long. Customer service 1 comes over. Hi, can I help you? Rude lady's friend.
She didn't help us. That other girl did.
Customer service 2 was with another customer at the moment, so she couldn't come over. I quickly explain the situation to customer service 1, who relays the information to her colleague at the desk and awaits an answer. Customer service 2.
OP, she paid for those. She must have lost her receipt, but I did ring her up for them.
Rude lady's friend.
See?
Rude lady.
This is ridiculous. Do you really count everyone's cart like this?
Me. Yes.
No, you don't. You know how I know? The guy in front of me had a full carriage of items, and you definitely didn't count all of them.
At this point, I don't even know how to respond. Obviously, 3 items is a different situation than 50. When she had cut me off, I was actually about to explain how we are trained. If it's a small order, try to count everything. For larger orders, it's more common sense.
Look for big items or items hidden underneath the carriage and verify a few smaller items in the carriage. The exception is large business orders, which we do have to check pretty much everything, no matter how long it takes, especially if tobacco is involved. Rude lady, glaring at me.
You can give my receipt back now and help the next person.
Me, starting to lose my patience. Ma'am, I'm just doing my job. Rude lady and her friend glare at me one last time and leave the store. Later, I found out from customer service too that rude lady had the receipt for the bananas on her. As in, it wasn't left at customer service when she checked out, but for some reason lied to me and said she didn't. She made a giant scene at the front of the store and backed up the line to get out for quite a while. Above all else, it's pretty simple. If I can clearly see that there are three items in front of me and the receipt only shows one, of course I'll ask. If I let her go without verifying, I could have been in huge trouble with the asset protection manager. I wasn't trying to accuse anyone of theft. Like I said, most of the time, mistakes like this are cashier error. We've got another video you're gonna love. It just popped up on the screen, so come watch it and we'll see you when you get there.
And support this channel by joining as a member today, and we'll give you a special shout out in our next video. And to have us make a video for you, come visit us on Fiverr, link pinned in the comments below.